Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a question of what position would kickers play, Tony. There would not be any kickers. It would be which of your linemen is going to kick the extra point or something like that.
Well,
because kickers would then no longer be in the National Football League.
And according to Gene Smith, anyway, punter is a starting position.
Well, of course it is a starting position. Punter and holder. I mean, you got two starters for one with that spectacular draft pick of Brian Anger in the third round a few years ago. Nothing wrong with Brian as a guy, but it would have been nice. I think Russell Wilson, I would have taken the one position Russell Wilson plays over the two that Brian Anger currently holds down for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Look, I'm not saying it wouldn't be interesting if they, like, NFL teams didn't have kickers and punters and they just had some guy back there.
Lots of things would be interesting,
right?
But I don't think they should be the norm.
You know? No, I don't think the football needs to change in that way.
If you want to have a game, if you want to play the All-Star game on an 11-foot rim, go right ahead. Play it on an 11-foot rim. See if I care. You're not changing basketball. You're not going to get to the pros and all of a sudden shoot on a completely different rim. That's one of the more ridiculous things that Jeff Prosser said, but he's got such a lengthy list that I hesitate to say it's even top five for the week at point in time.
I can tell you, as someone that's not an NBA fan, I don't think there's enough space on the court because everybody's too big.
And widen the court.
But the dimensions
of the basket are pretty...
makes the game more dull for me as a fan. I get that a lot of people love it. I don't care.
Fine. Then I don't have any problem with widening the court.
I don't need it to change.
You can widen the field. I don't need it, I don't need any the dimension of the basket to change. That's a completely different story.
I wouldn't care if it did or didn't.
Well, you wouldn't care because you don't care about basketball.
Right.
Right. So I would care if wrestlers all grease themselves up and wore Speedos. Oh, wait. They already do.
They do.
Apparently.
Yeah.
See, because I don't care. Apparently people care about the greased up men wearing Speedos and, grappling with one another.
Use it a foot. Maybe it gets better.
Doubt it.
I don't know.
Like you shoot on a 10-foot basket your whole life. Go shoot on a 10-foot four basket and see how much that throws
you off.
Oh,
I've done it. You
shot on a 10-foot four
not
basket.
Not 10-4, 11-foot. I've done that.
Who has an 11-foot basket that
you can raise them up and down?
Who raises their basket to 11 feet?
Because it was in my driveway, and I was like, well, what would it be like at 11 feet? Because I could. I could raise it all the way up to 14.
Right. So Tony's Driveway League is now playing at 11
feet.
That's fine. I'm just saying we can play that in your Driveway League.
I would agree with you. It's drastically different.
It's dumb. All right. Let's be honest about this. It is dumb. Is that Goldberg and Todd Wash? Is that what the Jaguars.com Live went with yesterday? You see
I believe so.
Comparison right there. Where's my mugshot in there? I think if I stuck my tongue out, I'd look just like Goldberg and threw on a pair of shades. I did get my hair freshly shorn yesterday. I know it's difficult to notice, but I'm in that family of resemblance. Today, Tony, something we started on the other day, and it's been discussed this offseason to some degree and probably thought about throughout the course of the season. Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, we're going to get into that today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In other words, defensive end and defensive back. Call him a safety, call him a corner. Ramsey is the particular guy at the top of most boards. Bosa is as well in terms of being a pass rusher. Maybe you prefer a Noah Spence or somebody else as far as that goes. And by the way, he is shot up in the mock drafts due to his Senior Bowl performance. I'm not convinced that NFL teams are convinced that the off-the-field issues should allow him to be a top 15-type selection. So we'll talk about that as the day goes along as well. But as the team is presently constituted, that's the question brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships today for the Jaguars. Bosa, the defensive end out of Ohio State, he's been the consensus top pass rusher in the draft. And that's what it basically boils down to. Top pass rusher, knowing, again, without knowing what you're going to get in free agency, but knowing that you've got Dante Fowler Jr. hopefully coming back 100% healthy, and you're also going to have some Derek Marks hopefully returning healthy on the defensive line. There are some reinforcements on the way. The secondary is what the secondary is right now, although James Sample will be back as well. I don't think most people see him as a free safety. You hear Dave Caldwell talk about the scarcity of the elite free safeties, the true sideline-to-sideline guys, and that they're in the category of the elite quarterbacks in terms of how rare they are to find.
Sure, sure. And I think it makes it difficult. And I think, look, we talked about it when this whole process began, and we really started talking draft a little bit about a month ago. because of the scarcity of the position and because of how many teams are searching for somebody that can, that has that skill set, I think it's about time when you have somebody, if you think he's a special player, like a lot of people seem to think Jalen Ramsey could potentially be, then forget where you're drafting him. Like, the number that you're drafting him at, I don't think it matters as much anymore.
I don't think anybody's hung up on that
right.
with this particular guy.
Right, and it used to be, like, I get it, that usually if you say we're going to take a safety in the top 10, people would just be like, are you really going to waste the draft pick on a safety in the top 10? I don't get the sense, because of how important the position is and because of how skilled Ramsey appears to be, that it's a waste of a pick if he's going to help a defense as much as he potentially could. He can play a couple different positions for you if you need him to.
By the way, Will on Twitter has a solution, Tony, to all of our questions. Why not make things random? You can have a basket that raises and lowers between 9 and 11 feet every
arcade
trip down the court.
Arcade style. That'd be awesome.
Don't know what you're going to get on this particular shot. I think that's 9.5.
Yeah.
It turned out it was 9.9.
It's like the game where the backboard moves toward and
sure, why not?
Random. You put it on random in the arcade.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly how we're going to do it. Or you could be like those carnival barkers that have a basket that's like a half the size practically. You know, you could fit two basketballs side by side.
Or it's angled up.
A standard basket. Right. It's angled and it's really tight and the ball fits barely through it and the balls are always overinflated. But sure, you can win that big teddy bear. Absolutely. Just 50 more tries and you'll win that $10 value teddy bear for $50. That'll be fantastic. All right, so today, weigh in on Bosa v. Ramsey. You can talk any aspect of Jaguar football you like. We've got top five lists from both Mike Mayock and Bucky Brooks at NFL.com. Top five players at each position. Tony Pauline says he knows who the top player is on the Dallas Cowboys draft board right now. Who knows if they even have a draft board right now, but it's interesting speculation nonetheless, and we'll get into that. 641-1010 is the number, and it's also the number for the text line. If you want to get in there, you can tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. Weigh in on your thoughts. Great elite game-changing defensive back, if that's in fact what Jalen Ramsey is, or top-of-the-board pass rusher because you just can't have enough, a la the Denver Broncos this past week. And I'll say this, the early voting pretty evenly split with some interesting reasoning on both sides. So weigh in on that via Twitter or on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. 641-1010 is the number. We'll have John Osher stopping by about 20 minutes from now to talk about the latest in Jaguar football. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. We're live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios down at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're going to be down on the field still, right? That's your plan for the season?
Yes.
And yep. That's always kind of been your thing. You're active on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You're going to a lot of different groups as it is.
Yep.
You don't want that to change, do you?
No, I think it's important that you kind of have your hand in everything. You know, during a game, there's always some adjustments that need to be made. And you also like to have the pulse of the defense. You know, at times it could be a situation where if we do come out a little bit sluggish, maybe we've got to do some things to get them rolling, get them excited. And I think the emotional side of the defense is very important, so it'd be nice to have a grasp of that, what we're doing during the game.
That was Todd Wash yesterday on Jaguars.com Live, J.P. Shadrick and John Osher. J.P.'s voice on the question there, and Todd Wash will remain down on the sidelines. I guess some coaches like to have that overhead view and the old overall perspective, and you can be in the ear of one of your assistants down on the sideline if necessary to communicate the calls. But Todd Wash wants to be in the mix. And look, you could probably be successful doing it either way, and whatever way you're more comfortable doing it is the way you should go with. This is your opportunity, if you're Todd Wash, to really put yourself on the NFL map a little bit. And, you know, hopefully he'll get a few years to prove it, because that would mean the Jags are winning some games and they have some stability here in Jacksonville. But we'll find out, Tony. Obviously, a lot of pressure is going to be on Todd Wash this year to make an immediate improvement on that side of the ball, much akin to the jump we saw on offense this year.
Yeah, and if they can make that kind of improvement, then you feel like they could potentially be a team that is contending for the playoffs, but it is dependent upon them figuring out things on the defensive side, much like they did on the offensive side. And look, Dave Caldwell said that he feels like it's easier to figure out defense. He said it. He said it's easier to build defense than it is to build offense, and I think that's mostly because it's so difficult to find the right quarterback. and they feel like they have. And on defense, you're not really looking for the quarterback. There's some other, there's positions that you need to fill, probably the most important of that being whatever you can do as far as a pass rush. But they have pieces coming back. I was having this discussion earlier this week with T-Wig, and I think it's difficult to figure out exactly what this Jaguars defense is right now. And it was terrible in 2015. No one's saying it wasn't. It was terrible in 2015. But maybe their two best players weren't on the field. For Dante Fowler Jr., he wasn't on the field at all. And I certainly think you expect him to be one of the better players on this football team going forward. And Cedric Marks played four games, and that was coming off an ACL. So those might be, like, if you were to list the best defensive players on this team, there's the potential for you to say those guys are 1 and 2 for them defensively, and they really weren't there in 2015. So how bad are they defensively? I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on how good is Dante Fowler Jr., because if he is a difference-making player, then they're a lot closer than people realize throughout the 2015 season.
Yeah, you know, I think Cedric Marks has to be considered no worse than the second-best defensive player. He was the best player on the team the last time we saw him healthy for a full season in 2014. The best player, in my opinion, on either side of the football. I don't think any of the guys they signed defensively last year showed me anything that made me forget about the season that Cedric Marks had.
No.
And so with that, a full return to health, I would expect him to be at worst the second best. And that's only if Dante Fowler Jr. lives up to his draft selection and expectations that come with being the number 3 overall pick and all the excitement that was attendant with that. And hey, if that's the case, those are two good pieces in the right direction. And that's why we're asking you today. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in free agency. Sure, the Jags may pursue guys like William Hayes and Olivier Vernon on the defensive line, and who knows who else they go after. But what level of success they'll have in signing these guys, no one can tell right now. Yeah, they have a lot of cap space. A lot of teams have a lot of cap space because the cap continues to go up every single year. And pass rush, you think the Jags are the only team that's going to covet it in free agency? Of course they're not. So it may be a bidding war, and even if you bid the most, as we saw last year with a guy like Randall Cobb or Devin McCourty, you can bid all you want, and sometimes teams look for a situation that they're either more comfortable with or is a more likelihood in their mind to win immediately if the money is about the same. So that's why we're asking you today, without knowing what other changes come, just based on who you know is coming back, who makes a better fit for this football team. My fear right now for the Jags, honey, I get it. The draft process may play out, and we may feel completely differently about Jalen Ramsey or Joey Bosa or both by the time it rolls around later on this year. But my fear right now is that the Cleveland Browns don't take a quarterback at number 2. Because I think if they take a quarterback at number 2, the Jags are going to be looking at a really good opportunity to get a proven defensive playmaker or an anticipated defensive playmaker, at least at the pro level, a guy who's been a proven playmaker at the collegiate level or has that overwhelming potential to be that for you going forward, be that a Bosa, a Ramsey, or a Miles Jack. If you assume Laremy Tunsil will be off the board somewhere in the first 4 picks as the offensive tackle, you kind of need Cleveland to do what people are expecting them to do, and I don't know if you can expect Cleveland to do that necessarily. You can hope that that's going to be the case. Do they need a quarterback? Absolutely. Do they think one of these quarterbacks is worthy of the number 2 overall selection, or do they feel like, you know what, maybe we can wait till the top of the second round and grab a guy like Paxton Lynch, or maybe they like Christian Hackenberg or one of these other guys who's not going to be a top 5 pick, at least the way it appears right now. Because if that's the case, Tony, if they don't go quarterback, you could kind of be left holding the bag on the next level. Maybe DeForest Buckner is the next best defensive end, is going to be a terrific player. Maybe he'll turn out to be the best out of all of them. But right now, you get the feeling that the opinions, at least, of the draft community are coalescing around those 4 players, one being Laremy Tunsil and the other 3 being Bosa, Ramsey, and Miles Jack. And if those are the clear 4 top prospects and 3 of them are on the defensive side of the football where you need a lot of help, you want to make sure you land one of the elite difference makers if you possibly can. And I don't see this team looking to spend extra draft picks to move up a spot or 2 to make sure that they get one of those guys.
No, probably not. And look, if Tunsil goes number one, and he certainly could.
Oh, let's hope he does.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly could. And if it's not him, then it's going to be Bosa, you would think, going to Tennessee. I don't know what else they would do.
I've seen Ramsey project. Well, I'll put it this way. I've seen Ramsey speculated as the top player in the draft by some of the pundits out there. Whether you're right, whether Tennessee would take him number one overall might be a different story.
Yeah, I mean, it would be wild. I mean, it would be really wild to me if a guy as talented as Laremy Tunsil got passed up for a safety. Like, that would be a daring, bold move by Tennessee, especially after drafting your franchise quarterback last year. I'm not saying that it's an impossibility, but the idea of drafting a starting free safety, a guy that can play corner for you too at times, when you have your quarterback getting killed and it got him hurt last year, he's your franchise going forward, to not invest to try to protect him, especially with that number one pick and a guy that is talked about as being worthy of a number one pick. And Laremy Tunsil at this point in the process would be odd to me. And I don't expect that to be what they do, but it certainly is a possibility. But you hope that they go Tunsil there at number one almost. And then the defensive players are still on the board. And then you're asking for one more team, basically, to make the decision to go something that's not one of those guys.
Right.
And, look, I don't know. Miles Jack is a player that is being very well talked about. Obviously fast. He's an athletic guy. He'd be brought in to play middle linebacker, right? I mean, he may be able to play one of those other linebacker positions, but Miles Jack feels like a middle linebacker to me. So I don't have a problem with having him and Puz on the same roster. Doesn't bother me at all to have those two guys on the same roster, but it's, does that mean Puz isn't playing?
I don't know if that means that initially or not. You know what I mean? And
right.
I don't know if you can, if you feel, and they've made these decisions as Gus Bradley has continued to stress, they've tried to make decisions what they feel are in the best long-term interest of the franchise without their own short-term thinking impacted. Can you continue to do that when you know the pressure is mounting for you to get results on the field? I hope that's the case, because if you feel like Miles Jack over the course of the next 10 years is going to be a 7-time Pro Bowler and a true impact player, the fact that you've got a bit of an awkward depth chart to begin his career with, I don't think should be the overriding concern. You know what I mean? I mean,
if you
really think this guy is going to be the difference maker and he's clear-cut the best player, and I'm not saying they feel that way, but if they do, by the way, a couple of notes from Tony Pauline. He at draftinsider.net, he did a news and notes column yesterday, and he spoke about Miles Jack. He said some of the NFL decision makers he has talked to refer to Jack as a rare athlete, which in those circles, that label does not get thrown around very often. And they feel he could play three downs in a variety of schemes. So he's versatile. It's a testament to how good he is, the fact that he practically didn't play this year because he got hurt very early on, that he is still in the conversation to this degree. I think if he had played the full season at UCLA and continued to build on the start that he had there, I don't think there'd be any question about his place among the top prospects, and there may not be with a lot of people. He also, Tony Pauline, goes on to say that he is told that Jalen Ramsey is currently the top player presently on the Dallas Cowboys board. And look, it may be a pipe dream to think that either Bosa or Ramsey gets to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but that's what we're kind of focusing in on today, given the option between the two. And there are plenty of scenarios where at least one of them does make it to them. I've had people already replying today, there's absolutely no way so-and-so makes it because so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, you don't know that.
You don't know.
You just don't. With team needs being what they are, one pick in either direction. You look at San Diego, Tony. As San Diego goes, let's say they go Jalen Ramsey because they are losing Eric Weddle, right? And I've heard talked to people in San Diego, Michael Gelkin with the Union Tribune, who thinks he would be the perfect selection for the Chargers at number three. Let's say it went Tunsil quarterback Ramsey. Do the Dallas Cowboys absolutely go Joey Bosa? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I know they're not probably going to bring Greg Hardy back, you wouldn't expect, but they do have Randy Gregory coming up. You can never have enough pass rush, but maybe they go for a guy like Miles Jack. Maybe they go a different direction.
Or Treadwell.
Well, Quan Treadwell, right? So I don't think it's impossible for Joey Bosa to be available to the Jaguars at number five. I'm not saying it's likely. I think, you know, the permutations are too many right now to figure out. We really don't know, despite what some guys report. Do we know that Jalen Ramsey tops the board? Until they leak the picture of the Dallas draft board, which seems like now a bi-yearly kind of thing that happens, right?
Sure, and today's question is less about what's going to be available to the Jags at five and more about if these options were available, which way would you
right,
rather see
them go?
Right,
that's all it's about.
It's not about the reality of the situation. It's about who would you rather have. That's the bottom line question today. If say you're picking number one this year and these are the top two guys on your board, right? Say it's Ramsey and Bosa and you're picking first instead of fifth, which guy would you take?
Right.
That's the question.
Right, and throw out tons. It was just you're given the choice between these two players as presently constituted. If you could take them today, not knowing what's going to happen in free agency, not knowing what's going to happen, and you could factor in. Some people are saying, look, I'd take Ramsey because I think the draft has more pass rushers available later on that I could take. That's fine.
That's logical.
And then,
yeah.
Right, you can play that if you'd like to, but without knowing what you're going to get, you can hedge it like that, but don't say, hey, well, I'd sign Olivier Vernon, and then I go draft Jalen Ramsey. Well, you don't know if you're going to be able to sign Olivier Vernon. So that's the hypothetical we're playing today. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL.
For the sign Olivier Vernon club, by the way, don't get mad when you see the money they're going to have to pay to get Olivier Vernon.
Right.
Like, if you're in the camp of they need to go sign Olivier Vernon.
Don't get mad at the money they're going
right,
to spend on anybody.
Then you better be ready because the contract's going to be huge, and it's probably going to be much bigger than a guy like Olivier Vernon really deserves to get in the league. It's going to be bigger than his value, but that's what you're going to have to do to get any of these guys that are going to be available in free agency. That big-name guy you're going to get in free agency, you're going to have to pay out
right.
of your ears.
And Olivier Vernon's not even a big-name guy, in my opinion.
But he's like the biggest-name pass rusher
exactly,
that's going to be available.
Right. When you eliminate the Von Millers from the board, then he shoots up probably to the top spot this offseason. All right. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010, John Osier, Jaguars.com, joins us next to talk about the latest, including his conversation with Todd Wash, new defensive coordinator of your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's straight ahead on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
Johnny O is in the house.
Get my ringtone on here. I like
you
that.
Like that?
Yeah.
There you go. John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer and a co-host along with J.P. Shadrick of Jaguars.com Live, which is sweeping the internet
really
by
is.
Storm.
It really is. It's gone viral.
It has.
It's viral four. Is that the number? Four? People see it. It's viral now?
I think so.
All right. Well, it's viral then.
I think so.
Yeah.
If it's contagious in
it's
any
contagious,
way.
Right.
If, like, more
it's definitely
I
contagious.
Would think if more than one person got it, from someone else? Yeah, it's viral. Like, you guys put it out there, someone caught on, that would make it viral.
I
don't know what the
it.
Threshold I mean, is for something going viral.
I think it's double digits.
Is it? It's yeah. It's out of 10.
I set a low
ten
bar
people.
So I can clear it.
10 people.
I'm pretty sure it's a million.
Okay. Is it a million?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure.
So it's not.
Oh, it's not viral then.
It's not. It's not viral at like 950,000.
All right, as long as we've cleared that
it
up.
It's not going viral.
.com Live was not viral.
All right, well, I beg to differ. Do we have the overnights on that? Do we have the numbers in?
No.
Okay.
I'm
don't
sell
yourself
sure so
short,
somewhere.
John.
So it's probably...
You do draw a crowd of at least like 8 people every time we do the pregame show for a home game outside.
Those are my peeps.
It's eerie.
Yeah.
How the same 8 people.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead when they just sort of stumble towards
they
the
just kind of follow. They hear a noise right. And they're like, Osier. But it is, and it's not like the same 8 people, but it's only 8 people. Every week it's always about 8 or 9.
Yeah, they're usually lost.
And there's a mix.
If you notice after I leave, they ask me how to find the concession
stand. Where's the bathroom? Yeah. Or wasn't there supposed to be food?
Where's the Seabest?
Something
setup.
Like that.
Yeah.
You had Todd Wash on yesterday on .com Live. He bears a resemblance to Goldberg. I do believe if I threw on some shades and stuck my tongue out, I would as well. I've got a little bit of the red face like Todd Wash. And I do get called coach at least once a month around this building.
It's not exactly a look. I mean,
it's a great look.
There are more than 4 or 5 people with that look, you know.
I understand that. I understand that. It's pretty common. You got a little goatee, or you're right. Mostly bald, and you're a white guy with a ruddy
that's
complexion.
Right. So, I like.
I do. I get coach though, and I don't think you're talking about Gus Bradley.
That's right.
How you doing,
coach?
How's everything, coach? Hey, very well.
Yeah, we went with that card. We went with the doppelganger card. So
that looks pretty good.
You gotta play it.
Looks pretty good. What were your impressions on how, obviously, you know, it's only been a couple weeks since the announcement, but, you know, Todd Wash, now that the process is a little bit behind him, he has some time to reflect and start to put his plan together. What are your thoughts?
They're just now really digging into the cut-ups, and by that, going back through last year, going through details play-by-play, and really figuring out, are there details, are there small things we want to change? He talked a lot yesterday about communication. We've got to get where every assistant coach, every player knows exactly what we're talking about on every play. So they're very much at the beginning, which seems logical. He's taken over, so he wants to make sure these people understand exactly how I want it done. It was interesting to talk to him a little bit about where he plans to coach. He will be on the sidelines as opposed to being up in the box. And he said the only time he's ever been on the sidelines in the NFL was, or in the press box in the NFL, were his first two games. And he just believes there's a feel you get from the sidelines. And if you need to make immediate adjustments, that there's something about being around the emotion and having the feel of that that he likes. And that kind of fits him. You know, I mean, he's that hands-on guy. He's going to be in your face a little more. So that's the style you're getting.
And that's what I said a moment ago with Tony, that I don't care if you're up in the booth or on the side. I really don't, because if it fits you, I think you can be successful either way.
And he'll have people in his ear. He'll have assistants in his ear to see the X's and O's stuff and the subtleties that you missed. The other thing he talked about, which I'll write about a little bit on Friday, is he's not so concerned when you talk about pressure. He's not quite as concerned about sacks as affecting the quarterback number up, you know, the pressures and the bothering. He said even in 2014, when they had a lot of sacks, they didn't pressure the quarterback enough. And there are just too many instances in the last two or three years where on third down, the quarterback had the opportunity to stand. So again, he's not as concerned about sacks as disruption. Is Dante Fowler going to be a 15-sack guy? Who knows? But he said Dante Fowler is very definitely going to be a guy who offenses have to be concerned with, who can disrupt, who can get guys off the spot. So that's really their emphasis as much as that sack number. Same thing, you've got to get better pressure on the quarterback, but it's interesting to hear him talk about that a little bit, that those are the sorts of numbers they're looking at.
Right, I think it's more likely to go the other way, though, that you could have a high sack number and not get enough pressure. Typically, if you get enough pressure, rare is the time when you won't at least have some of them pay off, a decent percentage.
Right.
So if you're getting
that
constant
number
pressure, you're going to get your sacks up.
As forcing incompletions and forcing short passes and forcing things the offense doesn't want to do. I remember when I was covering Dwight Freeney at the Colts, Dwight was a guy who knew exactly how many sacks he had every game, how many pressures. He studied it that way. And he said there was one year he had about 5 sacks and said, John, I had my best year. But he was a step off, but he affected the quarterback more. And the coaches confirmed, yeah, this was his best year. He affected it more. So it sort of shows you that number doesn't always matter as much as what's really happening. However you count it, it wasn't happening enough for this team the last couple of years.
Well, just look at the Super Bowl this week. I mean, we focused on the 7 sacks that Denver got, and those are fantastic. And sometimes they're game-changing plays when you can force the quarterback to cough up the football. But Cam Newton rarely had time to stand there in a clean pocket. He's got great mobility, so he can throw on the move, but you'd prefer not to have to do that.
Right.
You want to stand in the pocket, 1, 2, 3, deliver the football, and he was harassed constantly, and which results in sometimes off-target throws, or you're getting hit while you throw. And
it was striking to watch Denver the last two games. I didn't see as much of the Pittsburgh game, but I'm assuming it was the same story, where the quarterback is throwing it away or clearly moving and throwing under duress and doing something that he didn't want to do. And that's really the key phrase. And, make the quarterback do something that the play didn't call for. And if you do that 75% of the time, you're probably going to win 75% of the games.
Now, with that, today's question of the day, we're talking about, basically it boils down to we pick Bosa and Ramsey because they're the top guys in most people's rankings. But the debate between Do you want more pass rush? And that's for this team because I do feel like there's some hidden value still, you know, potentially to come with Fowler right. and the return of a healthy Cedric Marks, as Tony and I were saying. He's no worse than your second best player on defense because he was your best player on the team a year ago, period, in my opinion.
If healthy Cedric affects things more than any defensive player they have.
Proven.
I'd include, sure, I mean, we don't know Dante, but I'd include Telvin in that just because it's the old thing. The closer you are to the ball, the more your disruption disrupts.
Right. Yeah, so there's help coming there, whereas I know Sample's going to come back from injury, but I don't think many people see him as that free-ranging sideline-to-sideline free safety.
No, I expect him to compete with Sip for the starting for the starting strong safety.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think that seems to be the consensus of opinion. So the reason typically you would say, oh, this is a no-brainer, and some people are saying that you always take the pass rusher, but for this team, I do think they have more help coming, whereas, as Dave Caldwell said, finding a true sideline-to-sideline guy in the back of your defense is becoming as rare as finding a franchise quarterback. Now, a lot of people rank Jalen Ramsey as a corner. Look, go sign Eric Weddle. Throw him out there for 2 years.
I couldn't agree more.
Let Ramsey play corner if you do go that route, right? And then maybe eventually he works his way into free safety. Or
I think this
put a bunch of talented guys back
everything it can to have acquired what they believe will be an impact player as a pass rusher and a safety before the draft.
Both.
Yeah, I mean,
if
before
possible.
The draft.
Yes.
And because there's no question that you want to be you don't want to be sitting there on draft day with Bosa and Ramsey gone and have counted on that.
Or you don't want to be sitting there saying, well, I think Bosa's the better guy, but we have a bigger need for Ramsey.
Or worst case, is they're both gone.
Which is quite possible.
You never know. And there's no question that's what, in his 2 years, that's what all GMs try to do, but especially Dave, because we're close to this situation. Clearly in 2 years, he has said publicly he's used free agency to try to get to the point where you're not driven hardcore by need when you're picking in the draft. You're drafting need a little bit in the first round anyway, just because that's the reality of the situation. But that's the goal. So, you know, it's a very interesting dilemma because in every philosophical thing that Dave believes in, I think he believes pass rusher closer to the ball. It's the old thing. If you can get pass rush, you not only help the front, you help the back. It doesn't work quite as much the same way on the back.
It can, but not to the same degree.
Not to the devastating degree that we saw Denver do.
One guy affecting a quarterback on a pass rush, one player, can help everyone in the secondary.
Right.
One guy in the secondary locking down his guy doesn't mean the other guys are locking down
their
guy.
And that's why, you know, I think if push comes to shove and you have Bosa and Ramsey equal, I think you go pass rush just because that's that disruptive force. Time and time again, history has shown that disrupting force up front makes up for a lot in the back.
Do you think a linebacker, I mean, let's say just, and again, we don't know. There's so many permutations that could play out. But let's say those guys are off the board. Is a guy like Miles Jack, is that appealing enough of a position or is impactful enough that you think he'd be under serious consideration? Because he seems to be right now coalescing in that group of the top five prospects.
It's interesting because there is a spot where impact, if you think this guy is an impact, difference-making, Luke Kuechly kind of guy, then that can override your philosophical beliefs about position. Meaning, usually if it's just a linebacker, you always go pass rusher over it. If it's a linebacker.
Right. If you think it's an all-time
impact guy.
Which a lot of people think Jalen Ramsey can be. He has the physical potential to be. Right. That is the X factor.
Do you believe that? We won't know how Dave feels about that, obviously, and that's why the draft will be fascinating. I'm not trying to dodge the question. I think if they think that that Miles Jack is that guy.
You wanted to call him Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, well, if you think he's that, then I think, maybe even though he's more of a weak linebacker, weak side linebacker, if you're Kuechly, if you're that talent, then you figure out a way to play the guy and get him on the field, and you figure it out. So is he a figure-it-out guy, meaning whatever he can do, you put him on the field and yeah, then you take him. I don't know if he's that yet.
All right, what do you have coming up on Jaguars.com?
I think I'm trying to talk to Allen Robinson today, sort of just look back at the – well, you know, I haven't talked to him yet, so it's always a try. Yeah. But, yeah, just kind of see how the week went. We'll be doing meeting his Pro Bowl week, his Super Bowl week. He's had a chance to decompress a little bit, and it was kind of a wild week for him. So interesting to talk to A-Rob and a few more things in the hopper.
All right. Always something
in the
hopper.
A little Jags of the Round Table tomorrow.
With Johnny O. All right, John. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy.
We'll see you. We'll see you when we see you, I guess, next time. On Twitter, at John Osier, and, of course, on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. Coming up, this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, February 11th, 1986, Tony, the single Super Bowl shuffle by the Chicago Bears shuffling crew was certified gold by the recording in the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, is what it is. What do you have to have a gold record? Is it a million copies?
I believe so.
Million for gold, like 2 million for platinum? Is that what it is?
That sounds right.
Yeah, we'll take Google's word for it when we look it up here in a second. Bill Parcells hired as head coach of the New York Jets in 1997. It was a year later. He had him in the AFC Championship game. Had a habit of turning teams around in the first couple of years on the job. Famous birthdays for this date. Well, you determine how famous they are, but the Jaguars' own Chris Smith, the soon-to-be third-year player out of Arkansas, born on this date in 1992. He is 24 years old today. Happy birthday to Chris. Likewise, Jake Matthews, who went in the same draft, albeit in the first round, to the Atlanta Falcons. The offensive tackle turned 24 years old today, born on the exact same day as Chris Smith. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, maybe you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225, 620-9225. Dr. McCall is a certified Invisalign provider. You can get 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
The New York Jets, who have an estimated $12 million in 2016 cap space, have quite a few questions to answer on their defensive line this offseason. Sheldon Richardson is entering a contract season in 2016, while both Muhammad Wilkerson and nose tackle, one of the best in the league, Damon Harrison, is also set to become a free agent. That becomes even more complicated when you notice that quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick and running back Chris Ivory are also set to hit free agency in March, so a lot of questions to be answered for that Jets team. A couple of draft nuggets, we've been mentioning these throughout the show, but from Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, according to Pauline, the Titans are seriously considering Laremy Tunsil with the number one overall pick, which is no real surprise. The other much more interesting note for Jags fans, the Cowboys, who hold the number four pick, according to Pauline, have Jalen Ramsey, as the top player currently on their board, and Tyler pulled this little clip for us for today. But Chad Ochocinco, still doing Ochocinco things, still speaking the way that Ochocinco does. Here's what he had to say on Mike and Mike yesterday about how he dealt with sprained ankles.
You know what I did with ankle sprain?
Yeah.
I would collect warm urine from my teammates, heat it up, and put my ankle in it for 30 minutes. That's how I healed. Screws.
I'm begging you to tell me you're making
it. Did you really do that?
Seriously, that's my grandma's remedy. No, my grandma's remedy.
Unbelievable.
Your grandma was trolling you. Okay, grandma was trolling you. Hey, boy, go pee on your leg. All right? You know what? Do this first. Put it in the cup and you'll heat it up in the microwave.
Right.
Then pour it on your leg.
That's so weird.
Do you feel better now?
Gross.
Grandma, I can't feel my leg. See? The pain has stopped.
You're just thinking about the urine.
Jorge Posada used to pee on his hands to toughen them up. I don't know if that's accurate either.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Didn't Moises Alou do the same thing? He used to bat without the gloves.
There were a handful of them, that did batted barehanded.
Yeah.
Dominican guys that like to pee on their hands.
Yeah, whatever.
So be it. You know,
I don't doubt that it may be a family remedy.
How do you collect that warm, you know, particularly the warm, and then you warm it up even more?
Right, like how do you go about asking teammates, I need you to pee in this
cup?
There's
this bottle.
Right.
Right.
this is for me. It's for my ankles.
Right. And if I'm an NFL player, man, they're asking me to pee in enough things. I'm suspicious.
Sure.
Well, apparently Chad told his teammates he would go up to him and say, if you can pee for the man, as in you, if you would pee for a drug test, you could pee for me. That's what he told his teammates. If you could pee for a drug test, you could pee for me.
You could. But I'm compelled to pee for the drug test.
That's
I'm not
so
going to pee
weird.
For you. Chad.
So weird. By the way, I did look up the certifications for album sales, basically.
$500,000, right?
Yeah, in the United States, it's $500,000. To go gold or platinum is $1 million. Diamond at $10 million, either albums or singles sold. Music videos are a little bit different. We're the toughest on you here in America compared to any other country. They list the Canadian thresholds as well in here. In Canada, for an album, you only have to sell 40,000 to go gold, 80,000 to go platinum, 800,000 to go diamond. And in the UK, right, for an album, it's 60,000 silver, 100,000 gold, 300,000 platinum. So they're putting albums as platinum that in America aren't even gold records yet.
Yeah, but that's platinum UK. I mean, there are fewer people there, right?
No, I get that there are fewer people, but
so by percentage, I guess that's their thing. I think I was looking at this up too. Not that this is important at all, but prior to 1976, there was no such thing as platinum certification. I think back then, gold did mean you sold a million copies of your album. So, Tony, I've now looked up. Have you looked at the top-selling albums of all time in the United States?
Thriller is number one,
well,
right?
Well, I will ask you. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 13 albums have sold 15 or more, or 15 million copies or more in the United States, according to the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America. Thriller is the number one album. How many of the next 12 can you get? The most popular. These are just in the United States. Okay, what do you got for me?
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon. By the way, Michael Jackson, this is according to always accurate Wikipedia, is a 32 times platinum album, having sold 27.3 million. I don't know why that makes him 32 times platinum, but maybe. Whatever the read, 27 million copies of Thriller.
Right.
Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon is over 20 million. One of only three albums to sell over 20 million in the U.S.
Back in Black.
Back in Black AC/DC. Is fifth, selling 18.4 million roughly.
Led Zeppelin 4.
Led Zeppelin 4 is in the top three, 23 million. So you have the top three. Michael Jackson's Thriller, Led Zeppelin 4, and Dark Side of the Moon are your top three. And you had AC/DC, which was number five. That's not bad.
Are the Eagles in there once or twice?
I don't know. You tell me.
I'm guessing Hotel California.
Hotel California is comes in at 10th on the all-time list with 16 million sales.
Mm.
Asylum Records.
Any more Michael?
No more Michael.
Okay. Because I was going to guess Bad if there was another one for him. Let me think. I think it's the number one selling movie album of all time. It's Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever by the Bee Gees, 15 million sold, number 13 on the list. So sneaking it in there.
All right.
I'm looking at this. I'm wondering if that was ever number one. Even though it came out in 77, did it get to that point before some of these other ones that have staying power? By the way, I'll give you the Eagles' other one. They're the greatest hits album by the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Is number four on the list with 18.6 million copies sold. What else you got?
I'm looking at a list of bands here. Trying
I was wondering what you're peeking at over there because you've been pretty good with the prediction so far.
No, I'm looking at a list of bands here. I figure the Beatles got to be on there somewhere. It's that one or that one.
Which one?
It's either Abbey Road or Sgt. Pepper.
Which one are you going with?
I'll go Sgt. Pepper.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Strike one. What's your next guess?
Was it Abbey Road?
Incorrect. No really? Beatles album sold 15 million copies. Abbey Road was 14 million is what they're at.
Okay.
So, best-selling Beatles album.
I don't know.
I'll give them to you then.
Yeah.
After AC/DC's Back in Black came Shania Twain's Come On Over.
No, there's no way I'd ever get to that.
Never going to get that. Fleetwood Mac Rumors, one of the great albums of all time, in my opinion. Boston's Boston is out there, right? Metallica's self-titled.
Yeah, the Black Album.
Elton John's Greatest Hits, 16 million. Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. How about that?
I had that.
I do too. I still have that on CD, I'm sure, at the house. And that completes the list of the top of the albums that sold 15 million or more copies. Grease just missing out, by the way. Phenomenal.
Did Nirvana's Nevermind, is that anywhere close to that?
No. Where is Nirvana on this list? I don't know. Do we need to go down this again? Nirvana sold 10.2 million copies of Nevermind, so which is below Kenny G's Breathless and Kenny Rogers' Greatest Hits. Both as well. Much more instrumental and influential on the music scene.
Apparently.
Kenny Rogers and the Chicken franchise as well. Absolutely spectacular work. The Dirty Dancing soundtrack is more influential than Nirvana. What else? Bob Marley, legend. Phenomenal.
No, that one's legit. Like, nothing
that
else
legit.
That you mentioned was legit.
What, Backstreet Boys, Millennium?
I don't know about more
influential than
more
Nirvana.
Popular, maybe, but I don't know about influential.
NSYNC, No Strings Attached, just like Ultron, baby. More influential, ain't no strings on me. All right, we got to take time out here. We will come back and continue the discussion. Boza v. Ramsey, if you'd like to weigh in, 641-1010 is the number to do that. We'll also have a giveaway coming up. And we'll tell you all about that, how you can score something nice for your sweetheart for Valentine's Day, courtesy of us here at 1010XL. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank. It's Jaguars today in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Got a word banging around in my head right now. Starts with over. Rhymes with overrated.
Rhymes with overrated?
It does.
Whatever, man.
Whatever. To each your own.
I love the grunge rock.
Good for you.
I do.
Good for you. Kurt Cobain doesn't kill himself. They're not as mythologized as they are. That's my opinion.
Maybe not, but they might have done three or four more great albums, too. I mean, we don't know. I love Nirvana.
Moving on.
You can dislike them all you want.
I don't dislike them.
I love them enough for both of them.
Wildly.
Mike,
overrated.
Who do you hate more, Coldplay
wildly
or
overrated.
Nirvana? Who
I don't hate either one. I don't care enough about either one to hate them. Just because you don't love something anymore, again, it's not...
Hater.
No.
You hate it.
Hater.
Yeah.
Like Fleetwood Mac. I don't love Fleetwood Mac. I don't hate Fleetwood Mac.
Right. That's fine.
They're fine. They're okay.
Oh, they're phenomenal. On the text line, do the Jags send out season ticket renewals yet? I got an email yesterday, as a matter of fact, said renew your season tickets. So I think it's until March 7th. I know they said at the presentation with Mark Lamping that you'd have until the end of the month to
say
renew.
It's a leap year, right? So you'd have 18 days?
Got till the 19th or the 29th. Yes,
yeah.
That is correct. I have a good friend of mine. I've three friends from high school that I still stay in touch with. Unfortunately, it seems like in recent years, we've seen each other more when one of our parents passed away than anything else, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it does.
We're probably too young for that, but nevertheless, that's the situation we find ourselves in. But I got married on Valentine's Day. They got married on Leap Day. So I don't know what their anniversary that they're celebrating, like their fifth anniversary or their 20th this year. Something like that. It's one of those.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
Do they still celebrate it every year?
I would imagine so.
I don't think you get a free pass on that. Right. I hope you blow it out every 4 years.
I mean, that's smarter than me, though. I thought, right, I'm going to double up with Valentine's Day. And he's like, I only have to do it once every 4 years. You kidding me? February 29th. I don't know. Do you know anyone who's born on February 29th?
Not personally, no.
Neither do I. I'm sure there are people that were born on February
29th. I'm sure there's many people that were.
I'm sure there are. Not as many as all the other days, though. So, yes, to answer the question, the Jags have sent out at least some information about renewing season tickets. I know this. Had I responded to the email and done my thing immediately, I could have re-upped for last year's prices, which I intend to do. You know, I'm just going to slow play it, Tony, because that's how I am. You know, not cold play it. I'm going to slow play
it. Why would I do it today when I got 3 weeks to get it done?
I have plenty of time to do that, all right? I got soccer practice starting up next week.
Oh, they're back.
They're back. The Wildcats are back, and we've got...
Still the Wildcats? It's not going to be a revote on name or anything?
Who the hell knows what they're going to come up with? These little whippersnappers.
The Angry Birds. I know it was the Angry Birds.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
The Birds were great. We had the Sharks. We tried to go with the Mini Jaguars. Nobody wanted to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of ones. Thunderbirds at one point over the years.
Nice.
The Hoot Owls. No, we didn't have the Hoot Owls.
Hoot Owls.
I wanted them.
I was about to say, how'd you sell Hoot Owls?
At the end of the last season, not the fall, like at the end of last spring, they all decided, all right, we're going to come back and be the Avengers. I thought, this will be awesome. Yeah. We can assign them all superhero code names because we had the one kid who liked to wet his hair when he got sweaty and spike it up and go around and, flash the claws and say he was Wolverine. And he would, and he would play like a maniac and it was fantastic. And I thought, I'm just going to give them all code names. And sick them on the rest of the league. So I got that coming up next week. But it's one of those deals where parents are like, when is practice starting up? And I'm like, I know I got an email, and I know I got a little time before I need to really get everybody together. Well, it turns out it's like 5 days from now. So I finally sent out an email to get people on track as far as that goes. So, all right, we do have a giveaway. I don't know how you want to do it. What do you want to do here for
We've had an hour to come up with something, and we got nothing.
Well, you're right. We've got nothing. What did we do the other day? Yeah, go ahead.
As a producer, I came up with this idea. I'm thinking since tomorrow we're going to review Mike Tony and Ryan O'Halloran's picks of the division winners and playoff winners and Super Bowl winners, we could have three contestants and kind of sign up for teams and see who's most accurate. How about that?
Well... didn't we determine O'Halloran's already the most accurate?
Well, he got the Super Bowl winner, but we don't know about the division winners yet.
He had the Super Bowl winner? Or did he just have...
I can just tell you right now, you don't want my team.
I thought he just had two teams.
He had two teams that went the farthest.
No, this is way too complicated. We just need to give this away and be done with it, is what we need to do, because we have a lovely gift basket from Peter Brook Chocolatier. And if you'd like that, here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to take that three... and we're going to divide or multiply it times 10, and then we're going to divide it by 5, and then we're going to again divide it by 2. So we'll take caller number 3 at 641-1010.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to any
good.
Of that math.
Caller 3 at 641-1010. Get a delicious gift basket from Peter Brook Chocolatier for your loved one this holiday weekend. Congrats on whomever wins it. It's part of the 1010XL Valentine's Day Helper Program. If you want more details on these and other great gift ideas, go to 1010XL.com. I think that's the easiest way to settle it, Tony. Caller 3 right now.
That'll work.
1010, and we will hook you up. Rather than tying your fortunes to some predictions that we made, I still haven't brought the swag bag in. Are you expecting me to orchestrate this whole thing? Somebody's got to pick that certificate up today. I will have the swag bag in tomorrow morning for Josh to pick up sometime tomorrow afternoon. Nice job by him predicting Denver and a defensive lineman to score a touchdown in Super Bowl 50. All right, Tony. Bosa v. Ramsey. Do you have a preference on who do you think is the better player, regardless of their impact and the importance of the position? Who do you think is the better guy from what you've gathered, either from watching them yourself or listening to what the pundits have had to say?
I think it's close, but I think the majority right now would probably say Jalen Ramsey is the better player. Is the sense that I'm getting, at least, you know, a couple months away from the NFL draft. I'm a little bit surprised by that, but that's the sense I get. I hear a lot of people saying Joey Bosa is the most well-rounded defensive end in this draft, but not necessarily that he's going to be a game wrecker from the defensive end position. He's really good against the run, and he's solid against the pass. That's kind of the word that I hear on Joey Bosa, and Ramsey feels like one of those guys in an NFL where it's becoming such a passing league, can not only play both safety positions for you if you want him to, but on third down, he can cover somebody one-on-one in the slot. He can do those kinds of things for you, so that just the versatility that he has, I think Ramsey right now is probably considered the better prospect.
You know, he went to one of these college all-star gatherings after the season. It was very recently, and he just won the Hands Award. I know somebody talked about early in the week they didn't think Ramsey had great hands because he didn't have a lot of interceptions. Sometimes it's a product of not being thrown at. But he went and they ran drills with the receivers and the defensive backs, both involved. And out of all the receivers, he caught everything. that came his way. So he beat everybody out for that award. So again, what does that prove when you're in that setting? Well, it proves at least you have the potential to be a guy who can make plays on the ball and have it stick in your hands. He is a phenomenal athlete. And as everyone feels, he's going to, quote, win the combine. He's going to be the guy that blows people away with his size, speed, ratio at the position, his positional versatility as well. I kind of tend to agree with you, just if you take out the importance of the position, that doesn't mean I would take Jalen Ramsey over Joey Bosa, though. I think right now, given the choice for me, assuming that the Jaguars scouting department feels Bosa is the best pass rusher available in the draft, that's probably the direction I would go. And he said, Tony, to be a, like you said, he's not maybe a dynamic, he doesn't flash as much as some guys, but he gets to the quarterback. He's phenomenal against the run, and he is a 60-minute all-out effort player. You know what I mean? He's a guy that has a reputation for not taking plays off. And when you picture Dante Fowler, if you could picture him lining up as your Leo or your right end, and you could put Bosa potentially on the other side as a terrific run-stuffing guy as well, and he can play early downs mm-hmm. on that side of the football, that's pretty intriguing to me. And it wasn't just Von Miller. Although Von Miller was a game wrecker, you've got to have two or three guys that teams have to account for in today's game, it seems like. Even if you've got an elite guy like J.J. Watt, he's got help with Whitney Mercilus, and at times they hope Jadeveon Clowney is going to catch up. I don't think you can rely just on having that one stud defensive end to be the centerpiece of your pass rush.
No, and I've been crunching some numbers this morning, and I need to do a little bit more work with this before it's any kind of a complete picture when it comes to this. But basically just in the last 5 years in the NFL, for instance, 2015, this season that just ended, 9 of the 10 teams, the top teams as far as sacking opponent quarterbacks, so the 9 of the top 10 teams at sacking opponents made the playoffs this year, including Denver, who wound up winning the Super Bowl. 3 of the 10 best as far as not allowing sacks made the playoffs this year. But if you look at those numbers over the course of the last 5 years, 51% of the teams that get after the passer in the top 10 make the playoffs. 49% of the teams that prevent sacks make the playoffs. So those numbers pretty much wash out. So then I took a look at interception numbers, and the interception numbers are slightly higher. 54% of teams that are in the top 10 as far as interceptions in a season make the playoffs in the last 5 years, as compared to 51% as far as just pure sack numbers. Now, how much crossover there is right between those teams, I don't know. Like I said, it's not a complete look at what that statistic means, and it's not a pressure look, it's a sack look, and I don't know how fair a statistic that is to look at particularly, but it's at least a starting point, and I think they both feed off each other. And if they're both going to feed off each other, part of me wants to say Bosa, because it's so ingrained in my head, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And the other part of me just looks at the versatility of a guy like Jalen Ramsey, where he can play three positions for you, where he can do all these different things and be kind of that quarterback in the back of the defense and just a pure athlete back there for you, and makes me want to lean that way. And I think taking it all into account, I slightly lean towards Jalen Ramsey over Joey Bosa if I had the choice between the two guys.
I'm just feeling more and more like neither one of these guys is going to be sitting there.
I don't think they will either.
Either one. And that's going to be a little bit depressing. And if Cleveland doesn't go quarterback in that spot, I think it could be an awkward situation for the Jags, where the surefire guys that they would definitely pull the trigger on are all gone by number 5. Doesn't mean they won't have a guy to take. They'll have a 5-deep list that doesn't include any quarterbacks on it. So it's not like they won't know come draft day who the next guy is. I just wonder if there's not going to be a drop-off. And who knows? Maybe a guy like Noah Spence closes the gap. Maybe Joey Bosa's not even considered the top pass rusher in the draft when it's all said and done. Noah Spence, very impressive at the Senior Bowl. But again, the off-the-field issues, I think if he was clean off the field, maybe you'd have a better chance for Noah Spence to go head-to-head with Joey Bosa as the top guy taken off the board. If you want to weigh in, you can still do that at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. It's the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships question of the day. Without knowing what's going to happen in free agency for your Jacksonville Jaguars, right now, as presently constituted the Jaguars roster, who makes a better impact? Who would you rather have, Joey Bosa or Jalen Ramsey? I'm telling you, there are strident opinions on both sides of the fence on this, Tony, to the point where people are saying there's no question it's so-and-so, and the next person says it's no question it's the other guy, and that's how strong the opinions are right now on these two. I think we take either one of these guys, obviously, but the question is, if it comes down to a choice between the two as presently constituted, which would better serve the Jacksonville Jaguars? We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. By the way, Harold, our winner of the Peterbrook gift basket, so congrats to Harold on that, and everybody out there for listening. You're all winners, aren't you? But you didn't get a Peterbrook gift basket, did you? Now, it's part of the 1010XL Valentine's Day Helper. If you want more details on this and any other great gift ideas, go to 1010XL.com and check them out right there. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back live at EverBank in just a moment. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, coming down the stretch here on Jaguars Today, Ron O'Halloran in the house tomorrow. Unnamed draft analyst on the show tomorrow. Hint, hint. My producer, Tyler Devitt. We're back from San Francisco. Sure that's all lined up for tomorrow. The question today, do you go pass rush? Do you go defensive backfield? That's not really the question. Specifically, when you sit there with the fifth pick in the draft, two guys that look like the top guy at their position right now.
Sure.
Joey Bosa out of Ohio State University. And keep in mind, going back to last year, and this is who I assume Dave Caldwell was talking about because he was spoken of in these terms even last year. Dave Caldwell, when he selected Dante Fowler Jr., said, look, part of the analysis is always looking ahead. If we take this now and we, you know, if we don't take this now, and we are not able to address it later in the draft, what does next year's draft look like, right? So they did that when they took Blake Bortles. They evaluated and they said if Blake went back to school for another year, they felt coming out the following year, he would have been the best prospect on the board, including Winston and Mariota. You can agree with that, disagree with that, whatever you like, but that's their analysis and that's all they could go on is the way they feel. They're the ones in the job and they have to go on how they feel. And he said, looking at the 2016 draft class, Dave Caldwell said they only felt like there was one defensive end, one pass rusher with a first round grade. And that's how they felt then. That doesn't mean things aren't subject to change. A lot of people have brought up Noah Spence out of Eastern Kentucky by way of Ohio State. Got kicked out of the Big Ten for reportedly a couple of failed tests for ecstasy and has some, you know, some off the field issues that he needs to convince NFL decision makers that are not going to be a lingering problem for him. But beyond that, that's why Bosa is so much in the conversation. He's been for a while deemed as the surest of the things among pass rush. You can always use pass rush. It's always worthy of a top five pick if you get an impact pass rusher there. And then in the case of Ramsey, we've also heard Dave Caldwell say finding an impact safety. And that's if you presume he takes him and plays him at safety. The versatility is there to play him, Ramsey at safety, to play him at corner,
sure,
to move him all over the place and use him as an interesting tool, which would open up the possibility to sign a veteran like Eric Weddle, as many have suggested. And we've known he was headed for free agency for a while now. You'd love to have him in, even if you think, you know, you signed him to a 4-year deal, expecting to get two good seasons out of him. And, okay, well, you've got your free safety. Well, why would you draft Ramsey? Well, you play him at corner until then. And
play maybe, him at corner, maybe, or he's your other safety? What's wrong with that?
Well, because I think the feeling is that one of the guys, you know, if you go out and get Weddle to play free safety, you're not going to play – you don't draft a strong safety in the top five. You know what I mean? So,
but you wouldn't be drafting a strong safety. You'd be drafting a guy who can play safety for you if you want him to, or corner, depending on what you're trying to do.
Right, but when I talk safety, in regards to Ramsey, I'm thinking the sideline to sideline, back end of the defense, you know, last line of defense, ball hawk, right? I'm not thinking the in-the-box guy. I think they've got two candidates for that in Cyprian and Sample. As John Osher said earlier, he thinks they'll battle it out. I think that's the prevailing opinion. But regardless, that's the question today, Tony. And just reading through the Twitter responses, I thought there were a lot on each side of the debate. So let's get to the fan feedback spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Bosa or Ramsey as the roster currently looks? What do we get?
From Eric, we got Ramsey. Please, no Bosa. He seems weak and can be pushed around.
Weak.
From Lars, I would draft Ramsey because of the depth of pass rushers in the draft. From Daniel, Bosa, pressure on quarterback helps secondary more than covering a wide receiver for 10 seconds. from Marcette. We got, even as an FSU alum, got to be Bosa, pass rush is king. From Irish Jaguar, Ramsey would be my pick. I'd rather have a possible fix at two positions rather than two possible fixes at one position. From Cody, I'd rather have Ramsey. Bosa looks like Bjorn Warner 2.0.
And why is that? I've heard people make that comparison a few times. Is it because he's a white defensive end? I honestly don't,
I don't know.
What is the similarity to Bjorn Warner that makes you feel like his game? Maybe there are things in his game beyond that that make people feel that way. I'm just curious why he gets the comparison with Bjorn Warner, because I've seen more than one person put that out there in the last few days.
Yeah, I'm not sure. From Jarrell Bosa, because great pass rush tends to make defensive backs look better, not vice versa.
All right, here's a sampling of some of the Facebook replies here. Don and Fuego said, Bosa's a beast with J.J. Watt potential. He has multiple moves and can play all over the line. Get Weddle, draft Bosa, and let's roll, hashtag Jaguars today. That's fine. That's a fine scenario. Not that you won't get more than just one guy in free agency, but, again, we're trying to take out that what if you don't get Weddle? That's part of the equation today. What if you can't add what you hope to add in free agency? Because the Jags, if they do make a move for Weddle, and we think he makes a logical fit, maybe the Jags think his game's deteriorating, Tony. You know what I mean? I mean, we don't know how they feel specifically. But even if they do make an offer to Weddle, doesn't mean he's coming here. There are other teams that may make an offer to Weddle. Same with Olivier Vernon. Same with any number of free agents out there, every one of them. You could be outbid. They might not like the situation for whatever variety of reasons. So that's why we try to take that out of the equation, but he's basically saying, get Weddle, draft Bosa, and let's roll. Meanwhile, the opposite here, Matthew Ryan says, greater need for Ramsey. You need to get faster on defense. Sign Malik Jackson to help your defensive ends. He's only 25, and get pressure with him. Ramsey fits Bradley's mold of tall and long defensive backs, and you can use him at safety or cornerback, hashtag draft Ramsey. Similar thing. You're saying, well, here's how I would address the – no. Just if you could only add one guy this offseason to this team, who fits – maybe that's the way I should have been asking it. Who fits this team better with everything considered, with what they have on the roster and what you're getting back in terms of injured players this year? Maurice said, here's a tougher question. I'll be the judge of that. If both of these are off the board, do you take a chance on Noah Spence based on his recent stock rise and all of his coaches and teammates saying nothing but good things in regards to his past? Well, if they're all saying good things in regards to his past, I think what you're trying to say is they're saying good things about he's put that behind him, perhaps. I'd say, Maurice continues, take Spence and raise hell. Yes, I know he's a risk, but if he nails the interviews and shows consistent behavior, why not? Some believe he's the best pass rusher in the draft, including well-respected Josh Norris. I could take or leave Josh Norris as far as that goes. There are a lot of self-styled draft guys out there that everyone's got an opinion, and that's all great, and they all have a tendency to pat each other on the back, and that's how they become respected in the community, because it's a weird little deal that goes on online when it comes to the draft at times. I'd rather stick with some guys that have been doing it for years and years and years and have some scouting background. But regardless of how you feel about he or anyone else in terms of an evaluator, the problem, I think the big issue with Spence, Tony, is here you are with the number 5 pick in the draft, just like, and it doesn't mean he's going to go the same route, but you took a chance. Gene Smith did, when everyone said, oh, you know, he's too conservative. He took a chance on Justin Blackmon with the 5th pick in the draft. He had some red flags in his background, but everyone said, you know what, he's really a good kid, and he was great in the interviews, and all this stuff, and he's going to put it behind him, and he's a hell of a dynamic player. And then he didn't put it behind him. And it was a lingering problem almost immediately with Justin Blackmon, and derailed what could have been a promising, maybe a star turn NFL career. Maybe the same thing with Noah Spence. Do you feel comfortable enough? I'll say this. I'm glad the Jags should be in position to feel as comfortable or not comfortable as any team out there, because he was on the South squad for the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gus Bradley got to spend as much time as he wanted trying to figure out what makes Noah Spence tick. And I think that's a part of the process. If it were just based on talent, he never would have left Ohio State, and you'd be talking about which Ohio State pass rusher is the more impactful player coming out this year. And you'd have maybe a better comparison because they would have played all the same opponents. But instead, he went to Eastern Kentucky because he tested positive. Again, the reports are for ecstasy a couple of times. And I do feel that NFL decision makers, they'll turn a blind eye to the marijuana. They're proven countless examples of players playing at a high level that you find out have been smoking pot, okay? Once you start getting into the more mind-bending side of things, I think NFL decision-makers feel a little less comfortable about that kind of territory. Doesn't mean that Noah Spence hasn't put it all behind him. Maybe he has, as far as I know. That's the thing. I don't know. And there's going to be some uncertainty that comes with this guy. It's been a meteoric rise up the charts for him based on 1 week of Senior Bowl practices. Is that enough?
It's more it was a catastrophic fall because of what he did off the field. He's being evaluated where he should have been evaluated without it now, and it just feels like there's almost this, we're going to ignore what happened.
Like he had a good week of practice, right. And now that's no longer an issue.
Right. This is who Noah Spence is as a football player. And if he hadn't had the issues he had, he would be a guy that you're talking about probably getting drafted ahead of Joey Bosa. In all honesty, he'd be a guy that would be rocketing up boards, would be a consideration anywhere from number one on, honestly, is where Noah Spence, I believe, would be being considered. So the Jags having had the opportunity to be around him and vet him for that week at the Senior Bowl and find out a little bit about what makes this guy tick, what's going on with Noah Spence, I think you have to make a decision at some point, especially if the guys we're talking about. You know, if Ramsey and Bosa are going to be off the board, and now you're talking about, I'm not saying it's necessarily not worth it to go get a guy that plays middle linebacker basically for you, Miles Jack. I'm not saying it's not worth it at five if you're going to get the kind of impact you do out of a guy like Luke Kuechly. It's clearly worth it to go get that guy. But the prospect of passing up on the best pass rusher in the draft, if you can vet him, then you take him. I honestly feel that way. If you vet him, if you talk to him and you feel good about where he is, then at number five, if those other guys are gone, I got no problem with Noah Spence.
But that's the big
none at all.
That's
yeah.
the big if, right? And I would no one would have that if you feel
and honestly, if I was
like you vetted him
from the outside looking in, if those guys, if Bosa and Ramsey were off the board and the Jags were on the clock right now and you asked me to make the pick, I'd pick Noah Spence. Now my job's not on the line. I'm just telling you what I would do if I was in that situation with no pressure on me, right? I'm saying I would take Noah Spence. It's a lot more difficult than that because of everything else that goes into
right.
it.
Right, and that's the part we don't know. We can't just evaluate him based on his play on the field and his workouts. At least I don't feel like you can, and I don't think NFL decision makers are looking at it that way either. All right, we got to wrap things up. We've got XL Primetime coming up in just a few minutes. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by. Thanks to everybody who weighed in. I felt like Twitter was basically 50-50 on the split. On the Facebook side, it's always interesting to see where you get the different kinds of responses. It was more like a 4-1 Joey Bosa v. Jalen Ramsey kind of ratio. So what does that mean? It means nothing. It means that Dave Caldwell ultimately, hopefully, will have the choice to take one of these guys even. Great possibility that they're both off the board by the time the fifth pick rolls around. Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union in with us tomorrow, recapping his week of Super Bowl coverage and looking forward to what's upcoming for your Jacksonville Jaguars as well. That does it for us today. Thanks for tuning in. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime is straight ahead. That does it for Jaguars today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.